Apartment People, champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at bigairusa.com.
Hello, I'm Jim Connell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on books, events, gear, festivals, fitness, health, trails, and more. This podcast is number 29, and it's going out on September the 26th. And I'm cheating again just a little bit, although maybe I shouldn't be so open. But I'm recording in advance again, although not as much this time, just one day, because on Friday I'll be in Dublin doing some interviews based around the NFL game that's coming up at Croke Park between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings. If only it was the Bills, as that's the team that I covered a little bit when I was on the radio in Canada, as it was our closest NFL team. But I digress. I'm hoping I'll get at least a few free hours to do some walking outside of the city, but that's also weather-dependent, and the forecast isn't good. Last week in Vilnius, Lithuania, the weather was not great. The forecast one day was calling for rain after 11, so I thought I could get a quick hike in one of the forests right next to the city, and I did. The only problem being at 10:30, on my way back, the streets became rivers, and I was desperately trying to keep my recording equipment out of the rain. Mostly successfully, although I did get kind of drenched, as well as a few looks from people as to why I had no umbrella. But Vilnius is a great place for walking, not just inside the city, but around it. Got to be one of the greenest capitals you'll ever visit. As for incidents, well, I can't really say there were any for a change. Everything went pretty smooth, except almost missing my connecting flight in Amsterdam, thanks to a passport control queue longer than the lineup for a toilet at Glastonbury. Not that I've ever been to the Glastonbury Festival. My band did headline a small festival in Canada once, and I kid you not, one of our songs has the line in it, "Is it time to blow out the candle?" And as if by fate, at that exact moment that the lead singer sang that line, we blew the power. Not just to the stage, but apparently also to the nearby town. So I'm sure we were very popular. So we played approximately 6 minutes of a concert. Maybe that was about all anybody could stand anyway. I'm digressing again. I think I should just put that on my CV or resume. Skills. Digressing at will. Anyway, September the 26th is Alpaca Day, European Day of Languages, German Sandwich Day, Pancake Day, and Chimichanga Day. Lots of food. Happy birthday to Johnny Appleseed, George Gershwin, Olivia Newton-John, Serena Williams, and if it's your birthday, you.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Anyway, to the podcast, which sounds a bit like to the Batmobile. Last time we had a conversation with author Leah Appleton about her book, Walking and Wayfinding, Create Your Own Mindful Practice One Step at a Time. This week, our guest is Anton Nikitin, Chief Sustainability Officer at Vilnius City Municipality, who I interviewed before it poured with rain by the banks of the river in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, last week. Okay, if you do have news, guest ideas for the podcast, or even subjects to cover, or comments, or you just want to get in touch, or you want to advertise, you can do that at walkingpost.com, or you can just email me directly at jim@walkingpost.com. Okay, so let's get to some of the headlines of the news articles you may have missed that we had on walkingpost.com this past week. Work is starting on a new section of the Greenway in Kettering. The support for a new report calling for reforms to boost outdoor recreation and access to nature in England. And locals can look forward to greener travel in the New Forest and Winchester. The Canadian province of Manitoba is supporting a new walking path project. There are free events planned for the opening of a new walking route in Sevenoaks, and two sections of the King Charles III Coast Path opened on the Isle of Wight. All Swiftfoot introduced some new walking sneakers, aka trainers, and you can read all of these and more at www.walkingpost.com. So just the one conversation again this week. I was in the beautiful city of Vilnius for a week doing interviews at a life sciences event. And while I was there, I got a short walk in, thanks mainly to the heavy interview schedule and the rain. Vilnius has a series of trails that run around the city, and it's called the Vilnius 100, although it's a lot more than that now. And it's 10 walks that kind of form a circle around the city. A lot of it is in forests and along rivers, because if you're in Vilnius, you're never really about more than 15 minutes from feeling isolated and away from the city bustle. And that could be a large park or a forest. To tell us about walking, sustainability and just how green the city is, we had a chat on the banks of the river with Anton Nikitin, Chief Sustainability Officer at Vilnius Municipality. All right, so maybe then first, if you could tell me a little bit about what you do.
So I'm Anton Nikitin. I work for the City of Vilnius as a Chief Sustainability Officer. My main job is to coordinate or try to coordinate everything that is related to sustainability, both in a very broad understanding of it, is the environmental, social and governance part, but also on the very practical things. One of the things is we're this year's European Green Capital. We have a lot of green initiatives, both inside the municipality and also outside in the city. So trying to kind of coordinate and have it all together. So that's most of my job.
All right. And it is a very green city compared to many.
I mean, it is literally green. Around 60% of it is covered by greenery in these terms, but also we kind of are still humble about it. We say, as also part of the European Green Capital, we say that we're not the greenest city yet, we're the greenest city in the making, because there's a lot of small details that still have to be adjusted, I'd say, or there is still a lot of ambition we have in terms of climate neutrality or climate resilience, and just general resilience as well. So there's still a long way to go for us, even though we're like literally, if you look around, it's really green.
And how do you manage that within the fact that the city is still growing economically as well?
It is a challenge. I mean, we're growing. It's not as fast growth as you know, as some larger cities around us. We're still growing around 1 to 2% a year, which is quite a steady growth, and I'd say it's quite sustainable growth. But yes, there is a challenge of how do we develop the city, especially with the new developments. Where do we put them? Because we have quite a liberal master plan since, decades now. So the developers, they sometimes want to do this, the developments anywhere in the city. We as a city, we want it to stay a bit more compact, but also, kind of saving the greenery we have around the city, even though quite some of the greenery is protected. So that's a good news. So, the forests or all the regional parks we have inside the city limits are going to stay that way.
Is there a lot of park and green space?
I mean, yes, there is, the forests take up from somewhere from 30-40% of all territory. So not everything is protected for us as regional parks or the green parks, but most of those are the territories which will stay green, hopefully forever.
Right. Do a lot of people within the area utilize those spaces?
I'd say yes, and I see and start to notice this trend that people are staying in the city and discovering these places, especially in some ways it's those places that are just the parks inside the city, which are, well-maintained parks, so that attracts people. But also people do like to go hiking, to go to the forest, to go to the lakes, to go to the river, which is also really important. And I think we, even though we have a really clean river, really close to the city, and then quite a lot of people live close to the city, they were not using it as much. And potential, and one of the things we are doing now, we are kind of reimagining the river and working on the project. How to have more nature in the city and more well-maintained environment, but not necessarily kind of go with the asphalt or whatnot, but really usable environment in the outskirts of the city so that the whole river could be used. So yeah, and I see that trend that people are staying in the city because usually with the hot summer days it was happening, and it's still happening quite often. Quite some people go out of the city. They go to the seaside or go to the, surrounding areas because they want to discover the nature there. But there is a lot of potential here in the city, so I like that there is more and more people staying here.
All right, and is there promotion of that at all?
Yes and no, I would say. One of the examples is that we kind of, try and see where people are gathering and then kind of improve or uplift those places. One of the examples is actually here. So one of the things, people were always jumping and swimming from this pier here at the river. And, so they can still do that, but now they have the stairs to get out more easily. They're maintained and so on. So there is these, sometimes it's very small and practical tweaks to the places, people are using. One of the things in some other place we are, for instance, working on getting, because people are walking at the riverbank, which is a very natural, it's just a trail of riverbank. And people are walking there, but it's not very accessible. You have to kind of, really find your way to get down. So we're putting the stairs there so that people are, get there more easily.
All right. And what about the Vilnius 100? Is that popular?
I think it's getting more and more popular. One of the things, we're adding more kilometers to it. So it's more than 100 now.
All right.
So yeah, it's a trail around the city, which you can, kind of discover both the nature, but also some of the city. But it's mostly around the city. It's this green ring road as a trail around the city. And what we are now adding is small loops so that you can, kind of go a bit of, out of the main route and then discover some more places or make it connected. So I think this shows that some people, they already discovered a lot of it and they want to discover a bit more. So yeah.
And it's also broken down into stages. You don't have to do the whole 100.
So it's this 10 routes which you can choose from, and some of them are more easy to walk and some of them a bit heavier, because in some places it is like the slopes which are quite steep and you should be prepared for that. Some of them are really easy to walk and for anybody without any physical preparation. Obviously you can walk all of it without like this huge preparation, there is nothing to do, but some slopes can be, you know, for some people a bit more challenging. So yeah, people are discovering it, and we see that, you know, that it's nice, even though we don't measure it, you know, like we don't have a sensors to measure how many people go through that those places, because it's a very it's a very natural, it's not like this paved road wherever you would walk. It's some kind of places where you just go through the forest, go through the near the river, go up the hill, see the nice views of the forest over the wall.
Maintenance of the path, is there much maintenance?
No. So we kind of from the very beginning, from the initial stage, we decided that it's going to be this very naturalistic part. Trail or whatever, it's like part of the nature, and we're not gonna do a lot of maintenance. Of course, there is some maintenance. So one of the biggest maintenance, I'd say, is just signage, so that people just know, because it's these red signs of the trail. So it's these. So we have to kind of go, you know, every now and then go and see if some of those are missing or just look at the places and with these fresh eyes and see maybe people get lost a bit, because you know in the forest you can take any path, so that you're still on trail, you have to kind of follow the signs. There is some minimal maintenance, I would say, in terms of the surfaces, because sometimes you just kind of have to, but it's a very, very minimal maintenance. And maybe in those steeper slopes, we'll add some ropes or something so that you can hold on to. We're still kind of discussing whether we should do that. But it's a very low maintenance thing, and more of a communication thing, I'd say.
Right.
Even though the paths were there forever, so to just use the another gift from the nature.
Right, and are there other plans to do similar things? Not necessarily the Vilnius 100, but are there other areas where you're looking to improve accessibility and get people out?
I mean, as I said, the riverbanks is the main, I think, another main big project which is upcoming. So some of them are heavily used now, so we kind of have to rethink how to improve accessibility there, and how to improve the environment, and in quite some places it's both having the attractions 24/7 or all year round, because sometimes, you know, in summertime it's very accessible, very approachable, very easy to get, and in winter, even though it's still approachable, but there's not many people walking there or spending time, it's both, you know, getting the saunas at some points or some places so that people can enjoy sauna in winter near the river, or just, you know, having some places for you to ski and so on. So these kind of attractions are also, you know, the things we're working on, and obviously expanding the 100 trail, because we see that people are using it, so adding loops, adding some interesting routes, so it's a team that is working on that.
So you're not going to have to change the name to the 150 or the 127.
I mean, 100 plus is not it's not 100 plus already, so I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but it's good that it's being used. Does the city have plans for improving walking and cycling routes to try and reduce the number of vehicles on the roads?
Oh yes, so we've been investing, I think, for the past almost 10 years really heavily into cycling and into walking. There's still a long way to go, but we see the first signs of the investments into infrastructure, especially into cycling infrastructure, into having a connected cycling network, which is now more than 170 kilometers across the city. So basically all the densely populated areas of the city are interconnected, and we see the increase of the ridership of bicycles and electric scooters, we count them together. So if in 2018 it was around 1.5% of all models, of all the model share of all the trips in the city, now it's around almost 5, so it's tripled during the last, 7 years. So it's good signs that we're moving that way. There is still a lot of challenge how to kind of reduce the car traffic, which is one of the main issues both in terms of safety, pollution, or time spent, or CO2 emissions. So there's still a long way to go, but yeah, but these things are still a priority, so we're working on that further.
Maybe because I'm quite familiar with the city now, but it's a really beautiful and vibrant place. You've got everything from 1,000 years ago right through to Soviet-style buildings to very modern ones. Lots of greenery, rivers, castles, hills, and some great restaurants and shops. Highly recommended as a destination for a few days away. As it's a relatively short interview, it's that time you've been dreading, another rant. But we haven't had one for a few weeks. And this one I'm calling Site Spoilers. And you'll know exactly who I mean, because I'm sure you've all experienced it as well. You've been walking for 2 hours, and at the halfway point is a beautiful view from the top of a hill. You're thinking maybe a 5-minute stop, grab a few photos, and hopefully not freeze if it's windy up at the top. And then continue with the walk. There's no one around, it's a beautiful clear day and you can see for miles. And then you get to the top. The entire perimeter is ringed with families having picnics and you feel like an interloper because you only have a backpack and an energy bar. And the second that you get to the top, everybody stops talking and gives you looks. Why are you disturbing our family time? You can't get to the ledge that would be a perfect spot for photos because there's a tablecloth on it. The trig point has become a table. You could hang around and wait for somebody to move, but it just feels like everyone is set for an entire afternoon of doing absolutely nothing. In scenario 2, this time it's a waterfall. Now the thing with scenery tends to be that the closer an attraction is to parking, the more people will go there. I guess that's just natural, but if you walk 10 miles to a waterfall, it's likely all yours. But if it's 10 minutes from a car park, when you get there, it's being used as a TikTok backdrop for someone to dance in front of, while her friend films it on a cheap phone, wobbling all the time so the end product looks like it was taken in an earthquake. Well, you can wait a minute or two to get a photo, but the two get together, still in front of the waterfall. They watch the entire video, decide that it's not good enough and that they should do it again. And when they've finished that, they do another one, with a different hat on. Completely oblivious to the fact that other people want to enjoy the view without you in it. I've seen quite a few confrontation videos online where people get annoyed at people filming themselves at beauty spots, and I admit I can feel their frustration. I don't mind a couple of minutes, that's fine, but if you want to do more, step out of the way for a couple of minutes, let other people have some time with the waterfall to get some pictures, and then go back and film once you're not hogging the view. But unfortunately, that tends not to happen. The last scenario is less about spot hogging than it is about spot spoiling. Litter's one thing because it's mindless and it's potentially dangerous. One of the forest fires near us in Scotland early this year was caused by the sun's rays being focused on the ground through a discarded bottle. Sadly, most people don't even care. And people tend not to care much about others when it comes to walking as well, because there have been so many times when I've reached the top of the hill or a viewpoint and you stand for a couple of seconds to get your breath, look around and maybe snap some photos, and then a couple come up over the brow of the hill from the opposite direction, and they also stop, and immediately they start smoking, because they've earned the break by being at the viewpoint. No consideration whatsoever for people around them who don't want to breathe in their noxious chemicals, and they also seem oblivious to the fact that they are disturbing the serenity, which isn't just about the silence and the view, it's also about the air quality, especially so if you've puffed and panted your way up the hill to get there. Anyway, I won't go on, there are plenty more examples, and I'm sure you have your own version of this annoyance, and if you do have stories to share, I'd be happy to read them out on the podcast, assuming they are fit for broadcast. Always happy to hear from listeners. Anyway, that's it for another podcast. If you do have news, suggestions for guests, please do get in touch through jim@walkingpost.com. I hope you enjoyed this week's walkingpost.com podcast, and I hope you have a great week, hopefully with a walk involved as it gets a bit chillier here in the UK. Hopefully I'm walking in Dublin or the outskirts right now as you're listening to this, but likely I'm not. I'm probably sheltering from more rain. So until next time, happy trails. Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.